Well, here we are, ready to go on this another adventure. Seattle's Rowing Club. Are you all ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I've got my oars ready.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about riding with you, Steve, but, you know, because you got to really do a lot of pulling and stretching. Can you handle all that?
Yeah. But if you get on my boat, we have to work in unison, Doris.
Oh, okay. That's you got to pull together,
yeah.
Right? Right. Well, you know, my uncle was one who announced a lot of the winners for these Seattle races. Did you ever hear about Royal Broom?
I sure have. I actually have been to Seattle, and I went to a few Mariner games, baseball games, and I saw the street that is named after your uncle, too.
Because he was a great sportsman. And, you know, Seattle had a great rowing team, and the University of Washington won the Olympic Games in 1936 in Germany when Hitler was there.
Yes.
That was quite an event.
I tell you, and this article, Doris, makes me think of the book that we read recently within the last year called The Boys in the Boat, about that team that went to Berlin in 1936 and beat everyone else for the gold medal.
That's been made into a movie, and so maybe the movie will be out soon.
Yeah, it's a book I recommend if you want to learn more about rowing and the intricacies of rowing as a sport. That's a great, great story.
And you'll find out that that story was in Lake Washington, mm-hmm. in Lake Union, which is in the center of the city. And in the north, there's other lakes. In the south, there's other lakes. But we're talking about the south. Now, what's the difference then in Seattle of the north part and the south part, especially in the past?
Well, from what you've told me, the south part is more industrial, right? And so there's a lot of factories down there. And with the factories and the industry brings pollution. And so people don't want to live in the south, and the south part probably had more crime, right? And so it's more dangerous to be down there. But all of that, as we're learning in today's adventure article, that's changing.
Right, and the industry is changing the way they do things now. And the south part is beautiful, too, because it's also right by Puget Sound, the salt water, and you can see eagles and deer even come into your yard sometimes in the daytime. So it's still kind of countryish there. It's nice.
Yeah,
beautiful place.
They said that the south has been changing so much that the wildlife is starting to come back.
That's true, yeah. And so we're going to find out now about this rowing club, because in an environment like that, you'd say, what can you do? It's just a dirty part of town. But Chicago cleaned up their rivers. We've read about that. And I guess every city in the United States has done that.
I sure hope so. And if they're not doing it, I hope they're starting to do it soon.
And they're doing it in Asia, too.
Yeah.
A lot of different places, right?
I sure hope so. It's just like Steve said, this is very important.
Well, some aren't, Doris. I think we mentioned yesterday that it takes a lot of money and a lot of effort
to do this.
You have to care. And so some governments aren't really equipped to do this just now. They don't have the funds to do it, and they can't get the factories to agree to do it. So,
well, you know, sometimes it takes an individual. Like we read about this place in Seattle, that this Mike Merida, he was one who loved rowing, so he did it. And a lot of times, they're the people that get the government moving to do it because they care, and they get people together, and they start foundations. And so one person can do a lot. So you, if you're listening in, you can help in your community, too.
Right. It starts in your own backyard, and kind of like yesterday we learned that this is in a lot of people's backyard, this Duwamish River.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the backyard for many, many people. And so that's where it starts. It starts by a person caring about his neighborhood or her neighborhood.
And this has already been changed as far as when people say, oh, I'm going on the Duwamish River, then they don't say, you are? You know, kind of like that. They say, wow, that's a beautiful area now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's changed already.
Yeah.
So this is nice to read about something positive that's happening. We read a lot of negative things, but sometimes we have to look at the good things that are happening. And this is good because it's not only helped the area, but it helps the young people. And so what kind of a club is this that we're going to read about?
This is a rowing club. So, again, we said this yesterday. It's not the kind of rowing that you do when you go out in a rowboat with your girlfriend or boyfriend on a little pond or by yourself. This is the sport of rowing, and it requires a lot of strength, a lot of energy and determination, and it's a great exercise.
Do you like to go out in boats like
I
that?
I love the boats. I love the water. I love being out on the water, in the water. It's great.
Well, a lot of people in Seattle have what they call a kayak, which is a very small boat for one person to get it like the Indians had. And after work, they go out on the lake and they get in their kayaks and go rowing and watch the sunset. It goes down on Mount Rainier.
That's great. And I know that Seattle's kind of far north, so you have long days in the summertime, right? So
yes.
The sun sets, what, 9, 10 o'clock sometimes at night? Is that right?
Well, in the summer.
Yeah. So after you get home from work, you still have quite a few hours of daylight left to go enjoy the outdoors.
Sounds so beautiful.
Yeah.
But, you know, young people need to have things that they can do as teamwork. So a rowing team is good. It's not just an individual doing something. Let's look at our lesson now. It's on pages 36 and 37. And yesterday we talked about the area being so polluted, but that was in 2010. And the past 5 years have seen wonderful changes. Let's find out more about it today as we read on page 37, starting at the beginning all the way down through line 24.
The club operates out of a shed and an old shipping container plunked down in the driveway. The shed is an office with framed snapshots on the wall and a wooden desk. The container holds the club's shelves and equipment. It looks nothing like some of Seattle's more moneyed crew houses, waterfront castles with weight rooms, banquet rooms, kitchens, and ample dock space. Sometimes overlooked by the rest of the city, South Park is a pocket of low-slung workshops, modest bungalows, and some unpaved streets. Duwamish rowers carry their shells overhead a block to Duwamish Waterway Park, then wade through the muck of the beach to reach the water. They have no dock. Myrta would like one someday. The club has been eyeing a publicly owned patch of open space at the end of Elm Grove Street and other sites. For now, it'll make do with a new motorboat and a second shipping container purchased with a $10,000 grant from the city's Duwamish River Opportunity Fund.
Okay, so it tells us now that this club has a clubhouse. Now, sometimes a clubhouse can be built someplace in a beautiful area, but this clubhouse is in an old shipping container. And, of course, those are usually free. They're sitting around someplace on the beach. Somebody deserted them.
Really?
So, yeah.
They're free?
Yeah. Would you like one?
The big metal things?
Yeah. You want one, Steve?
Yeah. I do want one.
You know, I mean, people don't need them anymore. They're old, used ones, right?
Yeah, it reminds me when I was a little kid that we would build clubhouses as a kid, too. That word clubhouse often can mean many things.
Right.
In this case, it's a place where people can gather together and coordinate or get things together to go out and boat. But when I was a kid, clubhouse just meant a place that we could have a fun time and hang out.
You know what they're doing now in Seattle? They're doing a lot of tree houses, and they're putting their clubhouses in trees. Those are really fun. We'll do a lesson on that sometime.
That's right. Yeah.
Those are really neat. But anyway, this one offers up this old shed. And a shed is just something that's not like a real well building. It's just a shack kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a place where you put garden tools and your mm-hmm. lawnmower for cutting grass. It's not a place that is fancy by any means. And what I like about this, Doris, is we're comparing, as we said before, rowing is very, very popular in Seattle and Washington, and there's a long tradition of rowing. We talked about the team from 1936 from the University of Washington. So there's
people row on a lot of the lakes.
There's
right?
a rich tradition of rowing in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of money in
right.
Seattle, and rowing traditionally has been on those beautiful lakes. But now we're comparing that to today. This rowing club is fairly new, and it's in a place in town that most people wouldn't think of when you think of rowing.
Right. An old shed. But inside, they've made an office out of it. And what is the office like?
Yeah, the office has the club's shells and equipment. And again, the shells are the boats that they use to row, and they're not not like a canoe or a bigger boat that you would usually think of. They're very thin and very small, probably lightweight shells that they
can
row.
They're long, shells. People, several, look, you can see guys doing one on page 36. Right?
I believe in the past they were made out of wood, and today they're probably made out of some kind of composite fiberglass,
right.
Perhaps.
Right.
Okay, so they're probably a little more durable than the wood ones, and those are called shells.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the equipment is in there. And then they also have framed snapshots. What are the pictures of, you think?
Probably the rowers, or maybe a scene of the river, something inspiring perhaps to get people pumped up about rowing.
Okay. Well, clubs usually in Seattle, as you said, they have more moneyed crew houses. The people have spent money. They're in better areas, and they're wonderful things, like a castle, almost a built up right along the lake and the water. And there's a weight room, practice and banquet rooms, and showers and kitchens. And, they're really, really beautiful places, like a special club.
Right. So we're talking about these waterfront castles with all the amenities and perks that you just mentioned, Doris, compared to this other new club on the Duwamish that operates out of a shipping container, which is just this huge metal box. So it's a big, big contrast, right?
But I bet you they painted it up inside and made it look artistic. Do you think so?
Maybe. And maybe they even cut a hole in the side to make a window to let some light in.
The imagination going here, right?
That's right.
But anyway, they're proud of it because they have the pictures on the wall. And this is our clubhouse. So, it's always that way. There's some people that have beautiful big cars and some smaller cars, but they still get you someplace. And you can have a big clubhouse or a smaller one, but you can still get out there and row.
And it's still quite an accomplishment, seeing how the river was just a few years earlier.
That's
and now
true.
It's a river that people row on. So even to have a clubhouse is quite an accomplishment.
I wouldn't be surprised if a few years from now they get rid of that old container and build a nicer one. Who knows?
I hope they do someday, yeah.
They probably will. But for now, they want it to be inexpensive so kids can come and everything. So now sometimes this area is overlooked by the rest of the city. Because South Park, when you say that, all you think is commerce and business. You don't think of so much people living in that area.
Yeah, as we said before, South Park is known to be industrial, with a lot of factories, and most people don't even think about maybe going to South Park to enjoy themselves in nature, but that's changing. Traditionally, there were just workshops, factories, maybe a few modest bungalows, which is a kind of house, right? And unpaved streets, even. So it's not even fully developed. It's all for the purpose of making money and industry and factories.
Well, we can, in Asia, we have the area, like we have our beautiful malls and we have beautiful department stores and everything. But along the streets, there's an awful lot of streets where we have shacks where you can get narrow men. You can get all this kind of people, little noodle shops out in the street and mango shaved ice and all these kind of things, right? You can get all of those kind of things. But those are little shops compared to the big ones, but they still sell good food.
They do.
So that's the same idea here, isn't it? So you can actually, do just as much in a little one, but it's not as beautiful as a big one. So
yeah.
I think that shows us the difference there. But still, these people are Duwamish rowers. They live in that area. They carry their shells overhead and walk down to the parkway, wade through the water, which is still a little mucky, to the beach to reach the water. And they don't even have a dock, some of them.
So here's another comparison. If you are in the moneyed crew houses, these waterfront castles, you just have to go downstairs, get your shell, and bring it to the dock, which is right next to the water. But in this Seattle Rowing Club, they don't have a lot of money. They live farther away from the water, so they have to carry their boats across the street, maybe one block over their heads, and then they put in the water in like this mucky, marshy area. There's no dock, so they have to step into this muddy section of the river before they can start rowing. So it's not really ideal for rowing. But hopefully
that didn't keep Murder from doing it, right? He still wanted
right.
to start a club.
Because he truly loves the sport.
That's right. And you can see sometimes when things are difficult to do, but people still do them, you can see the passion that people have for the sport. So these kids, these people who are rowing in the Duwamish River, must have a huge passion for the sport.
They're excited. They belong to this club. Well, what does Murta actually hope that someday Murta would like to have something happen?
That's right. Well, he would like to have a publicly owned, he would like to turn what was a publicly owned patch of space into a dock for them to use so it could be more convenient. Maybe they can get more people involved in the Duwamish Rowing Club.
Yeah, and on line 19, we see the word eyeing there. Murta is eyeing a publicly owned patch of space, and that means he's looking at it very intently. He really desires to have that piece of land so that they could put in a dock, and then they don't have to walk through the mud every time they want to go rowing.
And he's probably encouraging them, saying, well, let's lose what we have here, let's use it now, but we're going to work towards this. And I think he's giving those kids hope that something worthwhile is worth going through something to get it. It's not just easily given to you. So I think it's good for the young people, too.
That's right, that's right. And the young people have a great example. Murta is such a passionate worker for this dream that the Duwamish River can someday become a popular destination for rowers, and he's certainly working very hard to do that.
But what did he say they're going to do for now?
Well, they can't get the land, so maybe second best, they can get a motorboat and a second shipping container, and they can use that to help build up the club. So maybe down in the future sometime they can get that piece of land to build a dock. But right now they're going to have a motorboat and extra space from a shipping container purchased with a grant. So they're getting money, public money, through a grant.
Well, actually, how did this club ever get started? What does it say about the club? Can you read that part on the side where it tells it how it got started?
That's right. Well, what started as Murta's solitary hobby became a club in 2011 when he and some other adults launched a four-person shell for the first time.
So four people in one, right? Okay, in one boat.
The club got a boost from the Plum Level and Square Fund, a charity set up by longtime South Park resident and property owner Robert McNeil. The fund honors McNeil's wife, Dorothy, who died in 2006, and his son, Tim, who passed in 2007. McNeil, who died last year, gave the club $20,000. He named a shell after Dorothy, and when he died, the club named one after him. The names are stamped on the hulls.
Isn't that something, though, Steve?
Wow. That must have been a terrible time for Mr. McNeil. His wife died and then his son died, but he had such a passion for rowing, and he kind of donated money in honor of those loved ones.
He wanted a better life for all the kids there. Right. So that's what people sometimes do, is they'll leave money to help things. And this has happened in other countries, too. And we need to remember that not just give your money to your children necessarily, because sometimes they're in other businesses. You can donate to projects that help the whole world and help your community. I think it's a wonderful thing that he did, don't you?
That's right. He set up a charity fund, and it's seemed to help a lot of people.
And so we find then that they have these shells, and there's four rowers in each shell. Now, I think in the University of Washington, there's more than that.
Right. There's two people shells, I think four people shells, and eight people shells.
Right.
Yep.
And these are kind of in-between ones, right?
Yeah.
But these kids are learning to row together, to have hopes together. They're probably not only developing their physical skills, but they're developing this way of giving and taking, winning and losing, and many, many different things.
Yeah. Again, as we said before, when you are involved in a sport, it helps develop interpersonal skills, skills that help you work as a team, build your character so that you can know how to lose graciously and win graciously. Sports are a good thing.
And one thing I think that's interesting about rowing is that you need a lot of perseverance, because if you get to the middle of the race and you want to give up, you have no choice but to keep going,
because
you're stuck in the middle of the water.
Have you read that book, The Boys in the Boat? You should read that one.
Borrow
it from Steve, right? Good book. Because that tells you all the things they have to go through. You don't just get in there and row. Oh, there's a lot involved.
Oh, there's lots involved. And it's what I learned about in that book, Doris, was that rowers, they use almost every muscle in their body.
Right.
It's not just
you
running.
Don't think about that, right?
Yeah, you're using your arms and you're pushing with your legs. And so it's also very aerobic because you're breathing very heavily. It's almost like running. And so it's a very, very intense workout.
Right. And the teamwork is so important, isn't
That's
it?
Right. Especially with eight people. Can you imagine trying to become get in unison with two people? That's difficult. But now eight people. So those eight people shells are very, very challenging.
That's right. And the physical ability needs to be very, very high. Because
right.
you can't lose the pace.
No, you
Everyone
have to keep
else
it up.
Has to stay
keep, do in. Do your this, part.
That's right. right. Do your part.
Yeah. By the way, I should mention that in eight people, maybe four, I'm not sure, but there's someone that sits in the boat
right.
and shouts,
mm-hmm.
right? And we see a picture maybe of that person at the top of page 37.
Right.
And that person's job is to shout out the tempo for the rowers and to encourage them and helps them to row in unison. So there's actually one person, he doesn't row, but he sits in the boat shouting at the rowers.
That's right. And in some countries, when they row, they have somebody playing a musical instrument to keep the rhythm, like a drum or mm-hmm. something else.
Sure, like in dragon boat races.
That's right.
That's what the drum is for.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. So rowing is a good sport, and it can be done in different ways at different places. Now, adults want to help out, and actually, the adults have to give more than their time. It says, giving it a try. Let's read the rest of the article and find out who else is involved in this.
Giving it a try. Adults pay $250 a year and are asked to volunteer with the club, while teenagers donate as much as they can afford, Murta said. Some pay nothing. Hilario Navarez, 37, brought his son to try rowing. He and 16-year-old Lalo previously used the club's indoor rowing machines at South Park Community Center. Seated with three other teenagers in a four-person shell, Lalo struggled to pull his oars through the water at first, but Murta, trailing in the motorboat with a megaphone, patiently coached him through the movements until Lalo got the hang of it. "There you go!" Murta shouted, in his usual matter-of-fact tone. "That's rowing!"
Now, if adults want to help, you'd say, well, I'll volunteer my time. Say, okay, you have to pay $250 a year to help. So they have to not only just help with their time, but they have to put some money in on it too, don't they?
Yeah, that's part of the upkeep for the equipment and maybe the shipping containers and all the equipment, the motorboat gas, so all that money.
And even maybe kind of having a little office there to figure out who's coming and going and scheduling and things.
And maybe they have a party once a year.
Well, I would think so, right? We'll have to check it out next time you go to Seattle, Steve.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's interesting because people volunteer to help. And some of the teenagers probably can donate a little bit. Maybe they have jobs and grocery stores after school or something, but they donate a little bit. But they donate, that means that they care about it.
That's right.
That's
right.
Good for them too, isn't it?
Don't you
think?
I think that having a passion for something and working hard for that passion and even sacrificing a little bit of your own money for that passion is a great habit to have.
Well, and they even have ways where you can practice rowing. Tell us about what this one fellow did. He sounds like a Mexican.
Hello. Yeah, perhaps
right?
he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on line 30, we see that there are South Park, at the South
Factory
Park Community
workers,
Center,
right.
there are rowing machines.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain exercise machines that simulate you rowing in a boat. And that's a good way to prepare yourself for rowing.
To practice, mm-hmm. to get in shape. You have to get in shape in order to do that too, right?
Yep.
And so, actually, when they were seated with three other teenagers in a four-person boat, this fellow, Lalo, says here, he struggled to pull his oars through the water at first. But some people can't quite make it. So Murta himself, he takes personal interest in them. What does he do?
He followed them in his motorboat with a megaphone, and he was coaching him through while they were rowing, and it seemed like maybe it took a little while. He patiently worked on it, but eventually, Lalo, as it says, he got the hang of it. Which
so probably Mexican kid, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. And hang of it usually just means he kind of figured it out.
Right.
To get the hang of something means to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
So he became experienced in it. So if you're not very good, they don't just say, oh, you're not very good, you can't join us. No, they train you. And they anybody who's willing, they help them. And that's very important.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the article says one word that I really agree with, I really enjoy, is patiently. I think patience takes... takes a lot of hard work to have patience in a sport. And I think
it's
a lot
true.
Of sports needs a lot of patience.
Well, and you notice this guy, Murta, he hollers at him through this saying, come on now. But he doesn't do it angrily like you're no good. He does it in a very matter-of-fact tone, which tells us something about the kind of person he is.
Yeah, he doesn't get angry. He's very calm, very
matter-of-fact.
You can do it. And he's giving some coaching tips to Lalo. And Lalo, I guess, finally gets it. He gets the hang of it. And then Murta says, that's rowing. You finally got it.
So that's an encouraging story. It's an encouraging thing for all of us to think about helping out in the community services wherever we are. There's always opportunities. Help the young people to be stronger and to learn things. And if you're involved, don't give up.
That's right.
And don't give up on your English either. And be sure you look at the QR code. You can see the different features here on your cell phone. Or you can do it on your computer, Steve, right?
Right.
If you look at, open your computer to Advanced Topic Talks, and you can see the features.
That's right. We encourage you to check those out for more information about each article.
And keep on rowing, keep on studying, keep on using what you have, and work together with other people and help the world to become more what we would say international in that way, by joining together with people from all over. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Come back again, Ben.
Thank you.
And Steve, carry on with the Monkey Man.
Right? I will.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks,
everybody. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.